We're beginning a special series today, a series called Stressed Out. NPR, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and the Harvard School of Public Health conducted a nationwide poll asking Americans to describe the stress they experience, where it comes from, and what they do about it. One key finding is that health problems are a big cause of stress for most of us. We'll hear more about that coming up. But first, how the idea that stress affects our health came to public consciousness in America. NPR's Elise Spiegel looked into it, and she found that the tobacco industry helped launch stress research.
The idea of stress began on a rooftop in Canada, with a handful of rats freezing in the winter wind. This was 1936, and according to medical historian Mark Jackson, by that point, the owner of the rats, scientist Hans Selye, had gotten pretty good at making rats suffer for science.
He would make them go hungry for a long period or subject them to extreme temperatures or make them exercise a lot. And then what he would do, he would kill the rat and dissect it and look at the organs.
See, what was interesting to Selye was that no matter how different the tortures he devised for the rats were, from icy winds to painful injections, when he cut the rats open, it appeared that the physical effects of those very different tortures were always the same.
Almost universally, these rats showed a particular set of signs, particularly in the adrenal gland. There would be changes in the adrenal gland. And he began to suggest that subjecting an animal to prolonged stress led to histological tissue changes and physiological changes with the release of certain hormones that would then cause disease and ultimately cause the death of the animal.
And so the idea of stress and its potential cost to the body was born. But here's the thing. If the idea of stress had been born to just any parent, you might not in your lifetime have heard as much about stress as you have. But it wasn't born to just any parent. It was born to Selye, someone absolutely determined to make the concept of stress an international sensation.
I mean, he wrote, 1,500 books and articles. I mean, it's massive, massive output from the man, incredible man. I mean, he slept 4 or 5 hours a day. He was always the first in the lab and the last to leave. So, I mean, his energy was fantastic. He went all over the world promoting the gospel of stress.
As Selye wrote in his biography, The Stress of My Life, one of 39 books that Selye wrote promoting the concept of stress, "Stress will have been my cathedral, and I shall polish and perfect it. I know my child will outlive me." But Selye wasn't the only high-profile scientist promoting the idea that stress posed a profound danger to health.
Type A individuals are individuals who exhibit aggressiveness, ambition, competitiveness, the drive to achieve, the drive to get things done.
This is an American cardiologist named Ray Rosenman, who, along with his colleague Meyer Friedman, helped create and popularize the idea of the type A personality in the 1950s. Their argument, essentially, was that there existed in America an entire class of people who lived lives so full of stress and pressure that their bodies were especially prone to disease, specifically to heart attacks.
Men with a type A behavior pattern have more than twice the coronary rate of men with a type B behavior pattern, as you might very well expect.
And according to Mark Pettigrew, director of public health research at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, this idea of a special, driven, and stress-sensitive subset of personality genuinely captured the American imagination at the time.
And it still does. I mean, you can see today literally many thousands of websites talking about type A behavior in a fairly uncritical way. It's something which still has that grip in the popular culture.
The thing that most people don't realize, Pettigrew says, as they worry over the dangers of stress, is that some of this foundational scientific research about stress was funded and guided by a very particular sponsor.
What's never really been appreciated is that the tobacco industry was a major funder and stimulant of research on stress, specifically Selye's work, and also research on type A behavior. Type A behavior is basically, to a large extent, a construct of the tobacco industry.
You see, for the last decade or so, Pettigrew and a group of colleagues have been searching through millions of documents from the tobacco industry that were archived online in the late 90s as part of a legal settlement against tobacco. And what they've discovered and published in scientific journals is that both Cellier's work and much of the work around type A were profoundly influenced by cigarette manufacturers who were interested in promoting the concept of stress because it allowed them to muddy the waters by arguing that it was stress and not cigarettes that was to blame for heart disease and cancer.
In the case of Cellier, they vetted papers, they vetted the content of the paper, they agreed the wording of papers. Tobacco industry lawyers actually influenced the content of his writings. They suggested to him things that he should comment on.
They also funded Cellier's research, which is significant again because Cellier's influence over our ideas around stress are hard to overstate. Not only because he came up with the idea, but as Pettigrew says, also because in his time he was such a respected figure.
I mean, Cellier was one of the major scientists of the 20th century. He was nominated for a Nobel Prize 10 times. So I feel that it's impossible and it's misleading to talk about stress without acknowledging the fact that he had a very, very close working relationship with the tobacco industry, and they helped him to shape his ideas and he helped them to shape theirs.
This is also true of the work around type A personalities and the notion that a highly stressed personality, not cigarette consumption, caused heart disease, particularly in men. Pettigrew says that though early studies, some of which were funded by tobacco, showed a connection between type A and heart attacks, as more studies have piled up, the original findings of Friedman and Rosenman have been undermined.
There have been very few studies which have actually shown that type A behavior is a risk factor for illness, certainly for coronary heart disease. Of the studies that do show that, and there are only four, in three of them, the researchers had some contact or money from the tobacco industry. That's not to say, and absolutely shouldn't be said, that all type A behavior research is tainted by tobacco money, but it has had a major skewing effect on the field, which I think has been completely unrecognized.
I contacted Philip Morris to ask about their role in this research. They were contributors to Cellier and the primary funder of type A research, and they wrote back that they have no comment since the research happened long ago. But in any case, in the years since this foundational work, research on stress has exploded, and there's no question that stress, particularly chronic stress in childhood, has a very serious impact on long-term health. But some scientists are now arguing that our narrative that stress is universally bad for health, which was promoted by tobacco, is too one-sided and doesn't reflect the reality that some amount of stress can actually benefit people, and stress isn't always a bad thing.
This is America today. We live with more tension than ever before.
Still, the narrative of stress promoted by tobacco through research funding and marketing and educational films like the 1975 film you hear running under my voice, which, by the way, featured both Cellier and Ray Rosenman, is, according to researcher Mark Pettigrew, alive and well, surviving still from a long time ago when the industry worked actively with scientists to frame how we see and experience stress.
The tobacco industry is concerned about the implications for its products. It believes informed discussion is essential to the public interest. Its dollar commitment to independent scientific research in the area of smoking and health exceeds the combined support of the Cancer Society and the Heart and Lung Associations, and is growing yearly as we seek the answers that we need.
The biggest thing we need is more good quality research.
Elise Spiegel, NPR News, Washington.